This passage about Jesus taking a whip and it just seems so violent that he would overturn the tables and be angry when we don't really see an angry Jesus in most of the New Testament. So that's what played on me all week this week, and we'll be talking about that in a moment, but let's join together in prayer first. God, we thank you for these wonderful stories that give us perspective and help us in our lives. Bless us as we look at this scripture and this story of Jesus overturning the tables and telling people that they were losing their reverence for the house of prayer. Help us to see that in a new way, and bless us as we're here today. Thank you for keeping everyone safe and getting them here, and bless those who are at home. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and all that you are in our lives. Amen. So, as I thought about this passage this week, and I thought, what would make Jesus do something like this? In the Gospels, there are different renderings of this story. In the Gospel of Mark, of course, there's some definite symbolic meaning of this, where Jesus overturns the tables, and it's a cleansing and an openness for readiness to understand God and readiness for the skies to tear open and the temple curtain to be torn in half later. And those all feel like very violent movement of spaces and time. And so I wonder, well, what does this all mean for us? Why would Jesus be so angry? And what was it that catches our attention here? I was telling someone a story this morning about what I thought that Jesus might have been doing. We have 7 grandchildren, and one week I had all of them, and our youngest grandson, Kai, would become really unreasonable if he hadn't eaten enough or he was tired or something like that. And we had to go somewhere. I was trying to get him in the car, and he was just screaming and wouldn't get in the car seat. And I was trying to, you know, lovingly, carefully put him into the seat, push him a little. And he has 2 older siblings, Sydney and Cam, and they were just rolling their eyes, you know, can we go already? And I thought, well, maybe if I shout, I can get his attention. So I yelled, "Stop!" And of course, it did nothing to Kai, but it scared the daylights out of the other 2 kids. And so I turned to Sydney and I said, "Oh, that didn't work." But sometimes, don't we need that shout? Stop! Stop what you're doing, because you don't even realize that you've created chaos out of your life. The Jews were so used to having their plotted out religious rituals and things that it became about all of the rituals. It became about buying and selling before you go into the temple, about doing the things that we need to do to be religious, to please God, maybe. Maybe they just eventually feel like brushing your teeth, something you've got to do. I believe that Jesus went in to clear all of this out, to give everybody a moment of stop! Stop what you're doing! Let's start again. Let's clear out all of this negativity that is right outside of our sanctuary. This sanctuary where we meet God, where we can sit in holiness, where all the distractions of the world are away from us. If we have to walk through distractions to get here, then how do we feel when we come inside these doors and we're in this holy place and all we can think about is, did I buy my Easter lilies? Did I make sure that I got stuff done for council this week? We have our own distractions from what we do in this holy place, in this sacred time. And maybe sometimes we need that. Stop. Let's turn the tables over. Let's not think about all of those things we have to do for church, but to come into the house of prayer and just be with God without any of those distractions. We don't want you to have to think about what's going to happen at council on Wednesday night, or trustees, or whether or not you have to change the light bulb here. This is sacred time, sacred, quiet time. In Morning Brew, we take this time that is absolutely sacred. We are quiet, we meditate, we listen to music, and it's very holy. We may not talk about God in the way we do here in this sanctuary. We may not talk about Jesus in the same way. Each person gets to feel the way they want, talk about what they want, but it's holy nevertheless. It's sacred time when we actually take the time to move the money changers away from our lives before we start into meditation. We ground ourselves. We move all of the outside out and take that holy time to just be, to listen to God. This house of prayer idea is amazing. And when you think about looking at Jesus' life that we have in print in the Gospels, rarely did Jesus go to the temple to pray. Jesus went up on a mountainside away from people. Jesus prepared himself, but he communed with God all the time, and he didn't need the temple to do it, and neither do we. But we do need to move the money changers out, and sometimes we need a whip to do it. We need a shout of stop. I think that's what this passage is about. It's about saying that sometimes it's a violent movement to get yourself out of your rut of your life and say, I need to take time for my spirituality and connect with God. I believe that Jesus was passive in his way of being with people. I don't believe that Jesus was violent in any way, but this passage is a wake-up call, isn't it? It's one of those odd things that you say, now this just doesn't fit with that personality that I think about Jesus, and yet it's there, and it's there for a reason. It's always there to teach us how to love ourselves, love other people, and love God. Sometimes we need that wake-up call. Sometimes we need to turn over the money table and say, enough is enough. To me, that's what I got out of this passage this week. And I think that we do that in so many good ways here. We do get distracted during the week with all of the stuff that needs to be done. We own a building as a church, and it's a distraction, but it's also one of those great things that we say, this is a sacred place to us. It has meaning to us. And so there are times when we have to do the work of church. But when we're here in this sacred time, when we're in our own prayer time, our own communion with God during the week, whatever time, whatever way that we do it in, we need to take time for that. And we need to let all of those things that distract us move away from the sacredness that we are in. So I pray that my interpretation of this was helpful to you, and that this week we can all allow those money changers and the dove sellers and everything else to leave our lives for a time so that we can come into this sacred reverence of the house of prayer. Amen.